for joining us. Today's going to go quick. We're just going to do 1 hour of the Power Hour. Let me check questions here. They're starting to pile in. You've still got time, though. If you have a question, go ahead and press 1 on your phone, and we will get to you. Let's get started.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. This is the Power Hour. I've got Bruce and John and Leroy with me from Pittsburgh Power, and this is the show where we take your calls and answer your questions about everything engines, performance, maintenance, troubleshooting, upgrades, modifications, fuel mileage, horsepower, you name it. We'll tackle it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and give me a call. We're going to get to your calls and questions in just a couple minutes. I want to bring in the guys from Pittsburgh Power. Hey, guys, welcome back.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
It's always a pleasure be here.
Great to have you here. I love Tuesdays. It's always interesting. What anything you guys want to start with today?
Yes, we all three of us have something to mention. Mine will be short. I wanted to let you know that we are now up to 5 electrical engineers, and we're keeping them all busy in the shop and on ECMs. 5.
Wow.
Pretty soon we'll have more electrical engineers than we have mechanics.
Yeah.
Interesting. We're going to have to add on to our electrical engineering department, so we're going to have to go upstairs now. So that's good news. And
yes,
the other good news is, there's going to be a fellow that wants to speak about what we did for an old Freightliner that he purchased and put a lot of money into it and how great it runs. His name's Chris. He's at area code 540, and you should be able to see him on your list. He would like to come on and talk. But now we're going to have Leroy. Leroy's going to talk about... Leroy designed a 3-position switch for the Detroits, and I'll let Leroy talk about that.
Well, we've been actually able to do that for years, but we've kind of mastered it with the whole VG conversion. This is one of the reasons we did it. We did it on Steve Crone's truck, so he has the ability to switch between 3 different ratings, essentially, which means he has different boost maps, different timing maps, different fueling maps. And the combinations can be anything he wanted. You could have an economy setting, you could have a hill setting, pretty much anything he wanted. And we're able to do that for the DDEC 3, 4s, and 5s on all 3, whether it's VG turbo or not, we can do that on all those.
So what Steve was finding after we put the VG setup on his truck was it was great fully loaded, you know, in any situation, but he found when he was light or on some really flat ground that sometimes, and Steve is a very efficiency oriented guy. You know, I'm sure some of you know him, he may be listening right now. And Kevin, I know you're familiar with him. So he's got some cool aero stuff on his truck, and he really pays attention to everything, and he keeps good notes, and we get some really good data from him. But his initial thoughts were, you know, he saw improvement immediately when we put the VG on, and he thought maybe it was a little too much power when he wasn't fully loaded. It was terrific fully loaded. He thought it was great. He saw no loss in fuel mileage then, and maybe a slight gain, but the power was just incredible compared to what he'd had. So, but he was finding it kind of difficult to find a balance when he was unloaded, you know, pedal position wise and so forth, where, you know, the thing would just want to take off, or it was, you know, a little bit on the wrong side of the curve. So he'd mentioned that to us, and I said, hey, we could do a 3-position switch, and Leroy came up with 3 different maps. So he's got, you know, basically a small, medium, and large. I think our low horsepower setting's down around, what,
350 to the ground.
350 to the ground. And then we've got something, you know, in the mid-4s or low-4s, and then we've got right around 500 for the top one. And he's really happy with it. So that seems to be working out well. So when he's light, he could actually cut back and we're way, way down on pulse width in those lower settings. I mean, we're hardly putting any fuel at all into the engine.
Well, he has a lot of aerodynamic features, so he doesn't need that much power to push through the wind.
Right. So, but so that's an interesting development over the last week. So the capability of doing the three position switch has been there for years, but with our work on the VG and some of the other mapping that we're working on, we're able to really take advantage of it. I'd love to build some sort of controller rather than a toggle switch on the dashboard to sense load and how hard the truck's working and have it switch automatically through the three. We could work on that in the future.
Doable.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, think about this now. When you and I met, you were low horsepower, I was high horsepower. Now we're both.
That's right.
We have the Kevin Rutherford style engine, and we have the Pittsburgh Power style engine. So
we got it all right there.
Right there at your fingertips.
Yep, they're right at your
fingertips.
What's
that? Yeah, right at your fingertips.
Yeah.
So hey, I didn't mean to hijack Leroy's segment there, but I felt I needed to expound on that. I'm pretty proud of what they've done there, so I'd like to talk about it. I'd like to do a quick feature or shout out to one of our remote tuners. I'm going to do this once a week now. We've recently set a deal up with Southern Illinois Power Performance and MPG, which is owned by a guy named Josh Lowen. And Josh is the son of a good customer of ours, a good, nice, patient customer of ours. We've done some development work on Josh's dad's truck, and he's impressed with what we've done. So he's helping his son get started in the tuning business. And so Josh is in Southern Illinois, just outside of St. Louis, just north of St. Louis, Pontoon Beach, Illinois. So they're on Highway 111 there. And Josh's phone number is 618-534-3381. Now, Josh is going to be working out of an established shop there in Southern Illinois named K&B Truck Repair. And K&B is in a brand new 30,000 square foot facility. They're a young, aggressive shop, and they're really excited to be partnering with Josh there. So Josh will be working out of their place, providing our tunes and our expertise on some troubleshooting as well. So if you have need to get by, or you can't get the whole way here to Pittsburgh, that's one of your options there in the middle of the country.
What's that number again?
You want the number again?
Yeah.
So here's the number again. Here's Josh's number. 618-534-3381. 3381.
Don't you ever listen to an infomercial? You have to give the number like six times.
Yeah.
But wait,
there you go.
Yeah, exactly. But wait.
Wait, I'll get it in there again at the end of the show.
If you call in the next 30 seconds, we'll double your offer. There'll be two Joshes.
Yeah.
Hey, there's $100 off the tune if you call in the next 30 seconds.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
right.
Serious now. Kevin, isn't it great though that we're able to merge your style of engine with my style of engine? Isn't that awesome?
It is awesome. The other thing I was thinking, over the years, when you guys started doing some, the custom programming in the ECMs, I get the question a lot. People call and say, I was really thinking about a power box, but I also see they have the tune. Which one would be better for me? And my answer was normally, well, the tune is a little less expensive. You get awesome performance, power, fuel economy, all those things. But I love the power box because it's adjustable. And I don't want a ton of horsepower when I'm in really icy conditions. I want the opposite. So I said I always liked that control that you had with the power box. So now you're almost combining the two.
That is correct.
Yeah.
You're giving somebody, this control over the program that they get to pick from multiple custom programs. That's just awesome.
So we never quit thinking.
You get three programs at the price of one.
Nah, not quite that.
Well, there's a little adder, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Very, very exciting. I love Tuesdays because really, you guys are bringing out so much cool stuff. I mean, virtually every week, every now and then you take a break and slack off. But most of the time, I just look forward to Tuesdays because I get to hear all this cool stuff.
We need to stay ahead of that. We need to stay on top of the wave here. Bruce had mentioned to me yesterday or the day before about how back when he was, making big cams run really well, and nobody else did that, and they didn't know how to, and they didn't do the research. And I said, Bruce, you know, the information's out there now. The internet exists, and social media, and people can find info that they couldn't before. So in order to, stay on top of it, we need to always look. We need to stay, like I said, we need to be on top of the curve instead of either getting run over by it or falling off the back of it. So we really need to do that, and that's kind of been my motivation since we've been here.
And nothing is ever good enough. You can't just leave anything that's good just be. You have to always try to make it better.
Right.
I agree. That's what gets us up in the morning.
Yes, it does. Yeah. It really does.
All right.
So it keeps us awake at night, too.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
It's actually a curse. I think it's a curse when God gave you this kind of mind that you always want to improve and you're always looking to improve. And it lets you sleep about 4 hours a night, and that's about it. And the rest of the time you're thinking.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, there's the music. Let's get to the first break. Great timing. We will come back and get right to your calls and questions. Stick around. This is the Power Hour. I'm Kevin Rutherford, and we've got Pittsburgh Power here with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is the Power Hour. I've got Bruce and John and Leroy with me from Pittsburgh Power. We're going to get to your calls and questions. We're off to Arkansas. Russ, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Thank you for taking my call. I actually had two questions, and then when I heard you announce it, I guess I would have three now. First, I called about a week ago to Pittsburgh Power, and they were telling me that I probably needed to add a turbo and a manifold to when I do the program. And I've got a Snyder glider I purchased about a month ago. I want to get the programming done. If I just did the program and didn't do the manifold and turbo right away, would there be a benefit to doing that, or would I kind of be wasting my time on that?
No, there's still a benefit to doing it, but you won't be able to utilize all the power, and you won't realize all the benefits of the program without the exhaust manifold and the turbo.
Okay, but I would be able to notice the difference between like this custom or the custom setting with that and what I've got now is a 430-470, so there's not a whole lot of power to it right now, you know.
Oh yeah, you would certainly notice a huge power increase, but you won't notice the full potential of it until you do the full tilt manifold and the our turbo, our 15% larger performance turbo. Okay.
Gotcha.
You always have to think of flow of exhaust and air whenever you're increasing horsepower. And the same goes for the mufflers. If you have stock mufflers, they're going to restrict you too.
Gotcha. I know you had two different versions there.
Yeah, and stock.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Air filters. The paper air filter will hold you back. So the fleet air filter, the full tilt manifold, our turbo, and the quiet performance mufflers. If you're over 45 years old, you want the quiet performance mufflers. It all works together as a package.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've got the fleet air filter already, and I'll definitely will be getting the manifold and the turbo, but it's going to take me a little bit to save up some funds for that. I know you got two different versions. You got a lower, was a 650, and the other one's 1400 to do the two different programs. now you've got that power or the switch. What would it cost for that three-way switch in comparison to like the $1,400 one?
I'm going to let Leroy or John answer that. I think it's about $600 option to have the three programs.
Yeah, the
correct guys.
The programming affiliated with the three position switch is a $600 adder to the programming, and
okay.
The cause it truly is three different programs. So that's actually, you know, a pretty good deal there.
You have to do some wiring and whatnot,
and then there's
to get it to work.
You know, could be as little as 2 hours to wire it up. It could be as much as four or five. So figure another.
Okay.
So figure another. You know, up to $500 there. So could be as much as an $1,100 option, shall we say?
Okay. Fantastic. Well, I'll be getting back in touch with you here in the next couple of weeks to get it set up to come and get it taken care of. I appreciate your time.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's head off to New York. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin. Thanks for answering the call. I got a 2014 Cascadia Evolution, and got a real weird vibration between 65 and 72. I've replaced shocks, tires, airbags, you just about name it. And everybody else I've talked to that has these same trucks have close to the same truck. Any ideas?
Have you changed the torsional damper?
That's a DD15,
No,
right?
I have. It's got DD15, 210,000 on it.
210,000 miles? That shouldn't be bad yet.
Well, do we have one for that
okay.
yet, Chris?
We do not. You have to buy one from
that torsional damper's right. It's got the grooves in it for the surfacing belt. I would look at driveline
right.
angles. I've seen a number of brand new trucks that didn't have the driveline angles quite right. There's a lot of info on the internet. It's a fairly simple formula to get the angles correct on the U-joints. If your U-joints are out of phase at all, it'll catch. You'll have a vibration at specific RPM like you're speaking of. And something as simple as a rear ride height adjustment, or if the rear ride height wasn't set correctly, could throw those angles off. So you want to, if you could get it here, that'd be terrific. But if you get into a decent driveline shop and you'll have one of them have the techs there check the angles of the drive shafts. And like I said, the info is easy to find. I believe that Eaton or, a number of the driveline manufacturers have got really simple diagrams that explain to you how that needs to be. But I've seen
okay,
new
so I guess
trucks.
All the Eaton.
Yeah, so there's, just Google it. You could find driveline angles or drive shaft phase, and you'll find all sorts of interesting info on the internet about it. That's correct. It's not misinformation. You'll find it, come up on, I believe, Eaton's website has a little tutorial on it, and there are a number of places where you can do that. But driveline angles are really important because universal joints don't spin at a constant speed. It's not a constant velocity joint. So what happens is if you've got
right.
the angle off slightly, it's not offset at the other end, you'll get a pulse. So it'll speed up and slow down and speed up and slow down. And usually
right,
that's more noticeable
almost a wave.
Window. Right, it'll be a wave.
Okay.
So what
also,
you want to do is get into a
different
drive line shop and have those looked at.
Okay. Also, what I think is unrelated is I have a Fontaine fifth wheel, and I cannot keep grease on this thing to save my life. My grease are probably every 3 or 4 days, and I'm still getting spots are worn down to metal. I thought about putting a auto greaser on there. Even thought about drilling some holes in the bottom and tapping some grease surfs in there. Any ideas on what would be causing that also?
I have no idea.
The Hall of Fame trailer.
I think you might want to look at the Lucas fifth wheel lubricant, because I have a feeling that that's sticky like some of his wheel bearing greases, and that may stick and not spread out and dissipate for you. So look, next time you're in a place that sells a lot of Lucas, try his fifth wheel lubricant.
Fifth wheel grease? Okay, cool. I definitely appreciate it. I'll look into driveline angles and Lucas. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for the call. Hey, guys, I just... Since you guys kind of run the show when we do this, I listen, I jump in once in a while with an answer, but it's kind of like autopilot for me when I'm on the show so I can do some other things. And I just happen to be scrolling through some of my news. I'm seeing an article, driverless truck makes historic 120-mile Budweiser run. The auto company that is owned by Uber now just had a truck deliver a full load of beer from Fort Collins to Colorado Springs. The driver spent the entire trip in the sleeper.
I mean, he can drink and drive.
It was a load of Budweiser. I mean, he had plenty with
him. Exactly. Perfect.
Sounds like a good trip. I'm in the wrong field.
Isn't that crazy?
No, I don't like that. I don't like that, Kevin.
You have to hit the panic button.
Letting computers drive 80,000 pounds down the road when I'm coming towards it. I don't like that idea.
Yeah,
Bruce, here's
scary.
The thing. Well, there's a couple ways we could look at this, but the way I look at it right now really doesn't matter whether we like it or not. It's coming. We have to deal with it. We have to acknowledge it. And I've been trying to get people to understand. 2 years ago, I was saying, look, this is decades off. It'll happen, but we're not going to see it. I'm changing my tune quick. I mean, it's happening today. You guys have cabs driving around Pittsburgh right now with no drivers. We've got trucks delivering beer with the driver in the sleeper. It's here, and it's coming way faster than I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. That's interesting. I mean, I don't know that I like it either, but you can't stop technology. Technology is one thing that is, you know, you can't regulate it. You can't stop it. And as technology comes along, especially if it's profit driven like that, what can you do? There's really nothing. There's no way. And, you know, I've got a son who's an engineering student. You know, he's going to be doing stuff like this. You know, this is job security for him. Those are the kind of projects he's going to be working on. So it is what it is. We're going to have to deal with it.
It is. And but let me address something. And I'm not talking about from the human side of this. From the human side, our listeners, the people we've served for decades, are going to lose jobs over this. I mean, I'm not in favor of it for that reason. But I also realize you can't stop progress. This has happened in every industry where you can replace people. They do it. People are expensive. But here's the other thing, Bruce. I mean, this is hard to get our head around. Why are you afraid of a computer coming at you with 80,000 pounds? But you're not afraid of a human driver. Human drivers make 1,000 times more mistakes than a computer ever will.
They're careless.
Mm-hmm. They don't pay attention. They're texting. They're eating. Mm-hmm. They're mad. They're sad. They're depressed. They're tired. They have sleep apnea. They are under the influence themselves. We could go on and on and on. And
you're
people
right.
crap. Cars every minute of every day, and we think nothing of it. We're used to it. But my God, the first time an autonomous vehicle crashed, it made world news. Well, we had 10,000 other cars crash that day. Nobody was talking about those. And the one that crashed, it wasn't the autonomous vehicle's fault. A car pulled right out in front of it.
Right.
So We're going to get to a break. We'll come right back. And this is a topic that I'm interested in. And I don't, you know, like I said, it's going to replace people. But we can't stop that part. But I think we have to really look at, there's no doubt in my mind, computer-driven vehicles are going to be safer than humans. We'll be right back. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is the Power Hour. We got off on autonomous vehicles there because I happened to just read an article about Otto, which is a company that has been into self-driving trucks for a while, but Uber bought them, and it looks like they are moving pretty darn fast. But honestly, Bruce, I know that reaction, we all have that, oh my God, we're going to let, you know, this computer be in charge of our life. But honestly, they will be way safer than humans have ever been in a vehicle.
Well, I've made a lot of wonderful friends in this industry. I'd hate to see them lose their jobs.
And that's really why I want to separate those two. There's the human issue of people. I've even gone so far to say on the air, and I'll continue to say it, if you are in your 20s right now, you are not going to be a career truck driver. It's not going to happen. There might be some exceptions, but there isn't 40 years left of driving trucks. I don't see it.
Well, there's always going to be the specialty truck driving, though. The heavy haul and the specialty types thing. So.
And there's still some time. No question. I mean, I don't think everybody should run out and look for another job, but I think we need to pay attention to this because it's moving way faster than what anybody expected, I think. And I think we need to separate. There is the human factor. People are going to lose jobs. That sucks. This is an industry I've devoted my whole life to, and you as well. But the safety side, I think we have to be realistic and take the emotion out of it. You know, I read somewhere the other day, one of the government agencies, DOT or somebody that has something to do with traffic, they set a goal by like 2035 or something like that, that they want zero traffic deaths. And honestly, the only way they could ever set that goal is because of this kind of technology. You could never get to zero with humans.
That study's been done here, you know, with Uber being here in Pittsburgh, and we've got what we call in Pittsburgh tunnel phobia. So to get to the downtown Pittsburgh from the eastern or western suburbs, you have to drive through a tunnel. And the traffic jams in front of these tunnels for absolutely no apparent reason are amazing. So one of the studies that I'd read was, well, it would completely do away with tunnel phobia. The computer doesn't care that it's going through a tunnel. It's not, it takes that human emotion out of that.
Yeah.
The thing goes, you know, it's completely done. It has no problem with the tunnel. So I thought that was an interesting, you know, something we deal with here in Pittsburgh and have. I'm from the eastern suburbs and we drive through that tunnel to get to downtown. At any given time, you could have a backup that you won't believe for no reason. None. It was 55. I think it's 65 miles per hour that leads to it now, and everybody slows down to 35 before they go into the tunnel. It's absurd.
Yeah.
Hey, John.
Yes.
When I was in community college driving my 61 Corvette, I went through that Squirrel Hill tunnel at 110. There was no traffic, so I just wanted to see if I could do it. I don't have tunnel phobia.
I've been through there at 155 on my old ZX10. So yeah, that was the sport bike sounded great in there.
That's true.
Is that the tunnel that's exactly 13.6 or 13.7? It's real close to the
leak.
They
knocked the ceilings out of both tunnels. They did, yeah. Over the past few years, they restored them. They've gone from the Art Deco square with the shiny ceramic tile to the classic arch. Now they knocked those ceilings were purely false, so they've
got
knocked them out completely. And yeah, so I think it's 14.6 now. Yeah.
I have kind of an embarrassing story about that. When I was a new driver, young, inexperienced, and I was doing a lot of work over in Pittsburgh because I lived in Cleveland at the time, and I had an old GMC Astro spring ride, and it had a really high fifth wheel height, and I leased my trailers. I used trailers from a rental company. I was moving a lot of my own freight, and they started bringing out these high cube trailers. And the first time I hooked to one, I was over height trying to get on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And then later that week, I ended up coming back through Pittsburgh. And they used to have alarms for that tunnel. And there were sensors,
yep,
you know, a mile ahead. And if you set it off, they would flash and make you get off the exit. Well, I set off the sensors because I was over height. And I thought, and this is back before GPS. You know, this is when you used to sit down with a map and plan out your route and have your directions there while you're driving. So now I've got to get off my route and I don't know where the hell I'm going. So I get off and I'm thinking, okay, I better pull over somewhere, get out my maps. But as I'm getting off the exit, I see this sign and it says truck route. And I thought, oh, good, I'll just follow that. So then I see another sign and it said truck route. So I turn and I see another sign. And pretty soon I'm like, it feels like I'm just wandering around. Well, it turns out
you are.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, they put a sign up for truck route on every road that allows trucks. So it wasn't a route. This road's okay. This road's okay. So I'm like, shit, this is bad. And I'm like, you know, an hour late for my appointment. So I remember that tunnel well. I do have tunnel phobia now because of that.
Hey, Kevin, let me say something about the trucking industry. When I was in traffic and transportation and dispatch and traffic management, about every 2 years I would change my job or change companies because I was bored. You know, I'm coming up on 40 years next month of working with owner operators. And there's a reason for that. That's because I've met so many wonderful owner operators and no 2 days are the same. Yes, we do meet some bad guys, but the majority of them are really great people. And it's a pleasure to not only do business with them, but to associate with them and snowmobile with them and see them at the truck shows. And so I have no plans of retiring for at least another 10 years. You may be talking to me on this show and I'll be 78 years old.
But there you go.
That's the beauty of this industry. And that's why I would hate to see, that's why I'm against things that hurt this industry, because it's such a great industry for people.
Yeah, I agree. It's sad, but it's happening, and it's happening really way faster than I thought we'd ever see it. Let's get some calls. Let's go to Texas. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to call in and give kudos to you and Bruce and his bunch at Pittsburgh Power. Great show, and it was your show that led us to Pittsburgh Power. Not too long ago, about a year ago, we bought an old Freightliner Classic XL, an old Werner Enterprises truck, and we bought the truck and paid cash for it and, you know, decided we wanted to upgrade and do a little bit of work to it. So thanks to your show, we found Bruce and John Leroy and a bunch in Pittsburgh Power and, you know, sought them out and took the old truck out to them, and they did quite a bit of work to it. They did, you know, rebuilt the driveline, you know, rebuilt the front end under it. They did a tune on it, and Bruce put his turbo and his manifold on it, and, you know, they had the truck about 2 weeks, and I tell you, buddy, it's a great bunch of people out there, man. They do really good work. We're really pleased with the work they did. 100% happy with the truck. I mean, this thing is a monster now. It just, it runs good, pulls good, drives good. It's just, it looks the same, but on the outside, but on the inside, it's a totally different truck. And you know, the thanks for that goes to Pittsburgh Power. They're a great, great bunch of people.
Awesome. Love to hear that kind of feedback.
Is this Chris?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good, good.
I recognize the voice.
Yep. I just wanted to make sure.
Within the first 3 seconds.
yeah. I was just telling Kevin, are you there?
Oh, yeah, we're here. We heard your whole deal there, yeah. That turned into a really nice older truck. I like those classics. That was a nice, solid, tight truck. That was a nice project.
Well, I tell you, you know, I'll be totally honest with you. A lot of the motivation when we bought this old truck was because of the age of it and, you know, these new E-Log laws and all. We were, you know, trying to dodge a bullet, so to speak. And so that was our main motivator for buying the old truck. But it was a pretty decent old truck, pretty solid baseline old truck when we bought it. But, you know, it had some age on it and a few million miles and needed a little work done to it. And like I say, we brought it out to you guys, and man, what a job y'all did. We're thrilled with what y'all did for us. We really are.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to add one thing here. Chris has a new Harley, and he's down off of 81 in Elkton, Virginia, and a group of us are going to go down there next spring or summer and go for a motorcycle ride with him for a long weekend.
Great stuff. There's the music. Let's get to a break. We'll come back, and we've got one more segment to get to your calls and questions. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is the Power Hour. I've got Bruce and John and Leroy with me from Pittsburgh Power. Hey, guys, I want to make another quick comment about the whole self-driving thing. And again, Bruce, I'm with you. I don't like this. I see it kind of as an end of an industry in a lot of ways. But what I'm trying to do for our listeners is make sure they're aware. And again, there are still drivers who have a couple of decades left. We're still going to have truck drivers, but the industry is changing rapidly, and I want people to be aware of it. And here's, I just read this comment on Facebook about this article, and this person could not be more wrong, and this is what I'm trying to get people to understand. This is what they wrote about this article that this truck just delivered this Budweiser load. It says, this is a cool concept, but it's not practical at all. If this were ever to come into play, first off, the cost will be phenomenal, so most companies won't go for it. Second, the driver would have to have a college degree and or a CDL. And third, the computer cannot recognize road conditions due to weather, city driving, docking. Every one of those sentences is absolutely wrong, and this is what people better wake up to. The cost is not phenomenal. Right now, Tesla has an autopilot option. It's $3,500. That is dirt cheap. A driver costs you minimum $35,000 year after year after year. You can afford to spend a lot of money on technology to replace that driver. That driver has workers' comp. The driver needs health insurance. The driver has, we could go on and on and on about how technology is 100 times cheaper than the driver. Again, I don't like it, but that's the reality. Computers can recognize road conditions better than we can. You could put 100 sensors on that truck. It's going to know everything and have algorithms to deal with it all. Why would a driver of one of these vehicles need a college degree? Where the hell did they even come up with that? I just want people to realize that that's everything that person just said is wrong.
The road condition technology already exists. I mean, some of the stability control and traction controls and things that are out there now built into, you know, like our street cars is capable of sensing a road condition instantly before you can. That's a definite fallacy there. Yeah, and dealing with it, exactly.
Right. You know, we talked a little bit ago about if you've got, you know, a really hot tune on an engine and you get on icy conditions, it makes it difficult. Well, these vehicles are going to downrate, detune. They'll do all kinds of things to deal with those conditions way faster than we would ever even know they exist.
What are they going to do? When the wind takes them, when they're going across Kansas on the ice and the wind takes it sideways,
it'll compensate for that. Instantly, yeah, there'll be gyroscopes built into the computer that'll sense yaw instantly. I've got gyros on the race cars that I work with that tell me, you know, yaw, and it picks up things like crosswind even. So that's definitely possible. I mean, none of that is out of the realm of possibility right now with current technology.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And again, I'm not arguing whether this is better or worse. I mean, that's a whole different issue. But I want people to wake up and realize this is here. It is real. It is going to happen. And none of these things that they mentioned matter. Cost, my God, the whole point behind this is cost savings. The technology is going to be cheap compared to people. It already is cheap.
No matter what, someone's going to need to fix them. I mean, we need to stay on this and learn this stuff immediately. We need to stay on every technology. And at some point, these things are going to need to be serviced. People are going to have to know how to work on them. So that's, to me, there's opportunity in every loss, or what appears to be a loss, there's opportunity elsewhere in it.
That's the key. And that's why
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that's why I bring it up, and that's why I talk about it. Not to promote it, not to say it's better, not to say that I'm happy, because I'm not. It's a change I'd rather not see happening. But it is happening, and my point is, if you stay on top of it and think about it realistically, not like this garbage, that you'll be able to find the opportunities. But if you resist this and think, oh, it's never going to happen, or it's bad, or you're going to be the one left behind.
Kevin, back
absolutely.
When Cummins went from the small cam to the big cam engine and the AFC pump, the older mechanics, I was young, I was 28, 29 years old, they told me that hot rodding diesel engines was over. It took me about one day to figure out how to get past the safeguards in that fuel pump. And then when the electronic engines came out, they felt, oh, when the 444 with the step timing control, everyone thought we were done then. It didn't take us very long to figure that engine out. And then when the electronic engines came out, we had a lag right there until we got the power box going in the year 2000. And boy, look what's happened since then. So what John just said is right. We're going to continue to hire more electrical engineers, and we'll be working on all these sensors on these trucks. Wow. Kind of makes me a little sad, though, because I
agree. I agree, but I think we have to be realistic about it, stay on top of it, and look for those opportunities. Let's go to Georgia. Fred, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm thinking of buying a Freightliner Columbia 2002. With a 12.7, 13-speed engine. But the only problem that the guy is telling me is it's throwing a lot of oil through the breather hose. And he does oil changes over every 12,000 miles, and he puts in a gallon and a half between oil changes. Do you think that engine's ready to give it up?
No, it's a gallon in 3,000. Is what's wore out, but a gallon and a half in 12,000, that's not bad. Put one of our oil traps on it to catch the blow by. Bring the truck in, let's do an engine flush, and you may be able to run that engine another 2 or 3 years.
Okay, it's got 750,000.
Yeah, what are you paying for the truck?
15,000.
Yeah. Yeah, you're paying a little extra for it because it has the 13-speed transmission. By the way, we may be in the market for a Columbia or a Century with a DDEC 4 with a 13-speed. We just need it to convert another truck. If anybody has one that's well wore out that they want to get rid of, we might need one of those. So. But go ahead.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's squeeze another call in here. Let's go to Tennessee. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My question was on the OPS filter system. When you get to that halfway point and you send your sample in, do you change the filter and the other oil filters, or do you wait till you get the sample back and look at the sample?
I'm not sure about
that.
You
know what I mean? I mean, I know you're supposed to change the filters more than you change the oil on the OPS system, but I didn't know if you're supposed to change the OPS filter, the other oil filters at a halfway point, or wait till the 50,000.
Well, me personally, I change the oil and the filters, but I would at least change the filters, the full flow and the OPS.
So, and I'll give you my history. We're kind of all over the board, but I'll tell you when I first started using bypass filtration back in the mid-90s, my method back then was I changed the bypass filters on whatever schedule, and I went through a lot of different filters, so there are always different schedules. But if I use the OPS as an example, I would change the bypass filters at 25,000 miles and take the sample. I was only changing my full flow filters once a year. I put it on the calendar. I only changed them once a year. And then I switched that to twice a year. So I just put it on the calendar and I would change the full flow twice a year. They're doing very little because the bypass filter works so good. You just don't want the paper deteriorating in there over time. So I was only doing it every other year. And for a couple of years, I did it once a year. And then just changed oil based on condition. That's the whole point of the sample.
Right. Now, is there a, I haven't switched to the lower viscosity oil. Is the thicker viscosity oil, the higher, like 1540s and so on, are they going to affect the system, that OPS filter system being a thicker oil, or is it going to matter?
It shouldn't matter.
It's not going to matter.
Yeah, the system works with any viscosity. And again, since we're doing condition-based changes, we still use the same criteria no matter what the oil viscosity is. If the sample looks good, we keep the oil in. If there's a problem, then we change the oil. There's the music. It means I'm all out of time. Bruce, John, Leroy, thanks again. And if you have any other questions, give Pittsburgh Power a call. We'll see you back here next week. Thanks for joining us. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us, and we will see you here tomorrow for Destination Health and General Questions. Not sure if it's going to be an hour or two yet. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.